You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to hour three of the big show. Glad you are with us. It's 8:06. I'm Brian Noonan. Jamie Martinson out today. She's a little under the weather. She will be back hopefully tomorrow. And then things will get back to normal because right now it's freewheeling. And when the inmates run the asylum, it's a whole different thing. Speaking of that beautiful day, this is a day to get outside. It's going to be in Madison today. It's going to be up in the 70s. Across Wisconsin, it's going to be sunny and beautiful. Do it now because tomorrow will still be warm, but it's supposed to rain. So if you want to get out, if you can find some time today to get out, look at that shot of State Street. Oh, the sun is shining. There's nobody out there, though. They're not heeding my words.
No, there isn't anyone out here, which is weird because it is absolutely gorgeous out here.
I was going to say, that's not a pile of snow over there. That's a traffic partition or a construction thing.
Oh, because, you know, it's Wisconsin. There's plenty of construction.
Well, that's fine. I was just looking at them like, that can't be snow.
No, we finally got rid of our snow. Like last.
Did you really?
The other day, we finally got rid of all of our snow because we get a ton of it when the snowplow comes.
Because you live on a cul-de-sac.
Yeah, and it piles
high. So you
just
get it all dumped in you? Oh.
Yeah.
That would be awful.
But no, it's gorgeous.
Everything dried out. The dogs have not been muddy, and now it's supposed to rain the rest of the week. So.
Lovely.
Oh, well. Yeah, that's the way to do it. Hey, listen, I've been told to do a couple things. First of all, if you want to go see John Mulaney, we're going to give you a chance to see John Mulaney because he is coming to the Wisconsin State Fair. And tickets are going on sale. Well, they're on sale now, but you don't have to buy tickets when we give you a chance to win them. Here's what you have to do. Now, pay attention. You have to go to WRJN.com, and you'll see right on the homepage, there's on the carousel, there's something that says win tickets to see John Mulaney. Click on that. Fill out the little form. There you go. You're in. You're the contest. Very simple. You know John Mulaney. He's a frequent guest host on Saturday Night Live because he started there as a writer. He's been in all kinds of things, and he's coming to the State Fair with his Mr. Whatever tour. So go there and fill that out. And while you're on the internet anyway, because you're going to WRJN to enter the contest, why not go on Facebook or Instagram or both and look at our new pages, Daybreak with Brian and Jamie. Like those, follow those, and we appreciate it because we finally, Jamie would be very happy. We've surpassed the amount we need to stream the show on Facebook now as well as YouTube.
Yeah.
Now we just have to wait to be in existence long enough, which yep. is coming shortly, but we have enough people. We can always use more. We want you to be as involved with the show as you can, and you're going to see things. I actually have something that this is what we should be talking about in the meeting, Parker, but I'll just give a quick mention now to you and Frank that I have something I want to bring up for a possible social media post for Easter.
Ooh.
So remind me, don't let me forget to bring that up later because you know I really don't pay attention to anything that comes out of my mouth. Except what I'm talking about, the headlines coming out of the Middle East. You know we are in week four of our war in Iran. Well, here's some headlines. A text message campaign is calling on Iranians to volunteer to defend the country against a threatened U.S. ground operation that, according to copies of messages seen by the Associated Press, one message declared, quote, a national campaign for those willing to sacrifice their lives, and then they had a link to register to, quote, defend the country's territory. A second similar text message suggested volunteers would soon see deployment. So this is escalating not only on our part as we send more troops into the region, but Iran is showing absolutely no signs of giving up. And I know that seems to be what the administration thought was going to happen from the beginning, that they would just bomb Iran and Iran would say, okay, we're done. They didn't pay attention to Iran's history. Iran's parliament speaker, Mohammed Bagher Qalabaf, dismissed the talks in Pakistan as a cover after some 2,500 U.S. Marines trained in amphibious landings on the ground amphibious landings arrived in the Middle East. He said Iranian forces were waiting for the arrival of American troops on the ground to set them on fire and punish their regional partners forever. That, according to Iranian state media, that does not sound like the kind of talk coming from a country that is ready to end anything. The death toll from the war has risen to more than 1,900 people in Iran, over 1,200 in Lebanon, 19 in Israel, and 13 U.S. military members, as well as a number of civilians on land and sea in the Gulf region. Millions of people in Lebanon and Iran have been displaced. President Trump said on social media that his administration, quote, is in serious discussions with Iran to end military operations, but he threatened mass destruction to the country's energy resources unless a deal is reached, quote unquote, shortly. His tweet on Truth Social said, quote, great progress has been made, but if for any reason a deal is not shortly reached, which it probably will be, if the Hormuz Strait is not immediately open for business, we will conclude our lovely stay in Iran by blowing up and completely obliterating all of their electric generating plants, oil wells, and the Karg Island, and possibly all desalinization plants. So, nothing like trying to, if you really are trying to ease tensions and end the conflict, nothing like making outrageous threats and putting a time limit on them to get people to really take your peace talks seriously. And it doesn't seem... Now, Marco Rubio the other day said this is going to be over in 2 to 4 weeks. But listening to the rhetoric coming from both sides, from our administration and from the Iranians, it doesn't seem like 2 to 4 weeks is a realistic timetable. It just, I don't know, it's scary. All right, Parker, we needed to know that, but there's some other stuff we need to know. It's always time for that stuff that you need to know. Always, always, always. Let's start close to home because with depending on where you sit, good news or bad news, I guess. But Tony Evers signed 27 bills, including measures focused on public health. That's good. Consumer protections. That sounds good. Transportation projects. Yeah, I'm down. And updates to outdated laws. So that all sounds great. Several bills to modernize laws and adjust for inflation, including expanding protections under the Wisconsin Consumer Act and increasing small claim court limits. New laws also address public safety and enforcement, such as tougher penalties for repeat retail theft and faster testing for communicable diseases to protect first responders. Other changes impact everyday life, including updates to highway project approvals, expanded bingo rules for local businesses. Listen, that right now, every senior's ears perked up when I said that. What did he say about bingo? This guy better not be touching our bingo. We're just updating the rules. You're good. You're all right. Recreational vehicle regulations and new hospital price transparency requirements. I think that right there should have been done a long time ago. Because I don't care when you've been in the hospital. If you look at the bill afterwards, you are shocked. And I was really shocked the first time I went in a hospital and it was like McDonald's because behind the counter in admitting, there was a price list. And it was like an MRI, this much. Vaccinated, this much. Chest x-ray, this much. And I was like, who would ever do that? And I thought, you know what? If you're worried about your insurance coverage or whatever, at least you can kind of have an idea. And not that you're going to go, well, you know what? I know my heart just exploded, but I can't pay those prices, and you just walk out. You're still going to go, but at least you can brace yourself a little bit before you get in there. All right, back to stuff you need to know. Oh, the president has ratcheted up his attacks on NATO. The United States may stop promising to defend its NATO allies should they come under attack. That, according to the president on Friday, it escalated his verbal barrage against the alliance as his frustration grows that European leaders have not significantly contributed to his war against Iran. And I think the key word there is his war and Netanyahu's war. He sought nobody's approval. He has done nothing but try to alienate our allies since he came back into office. He has consistently bad-mouthed NATO during both terms. And now he started a war. And when other people were like, well, we don't want to get involved in this. This is not, it's not our fight. It really wasn't your fight because you haven't proven that there was any urgent need to start this war. You've given no justification for this. Now he's upset. Donald Trump went on, he told a Miami Beach investment conference, and guess who that was sponsored by, Parker? The Saudi Sovereign Wealth Fund.
Oh.
Yeah, hmm. You know, same people who paid Jared. Not where he got the big plane, but that's all right. He told them, quote, NATO just wasn't there when he asked for help with the war. He went on to say it was a tremendous mistake by the Europeans. We spend hundreds of billions of dollars a year on NATO, hundreds protecting them, and we would have always been there for them. But now, based on their actions, I guess we don't have to be. Sounds like when he didn't get the Peace Prize and said now he doesn't have to focus on peace. And then, guess what? He went and started a war. So, good. And I'm wondering, you know, at this point, how many European countries are upset by that statement? Or they're just like, okay, we didn't really expect you to help us out anyway, and we'll just pray that nothing happens till the next administration. He's been critical of European allies who say and says they've taken advantage of the United States. In recent months, he has grown publicly more bellicose toward them, first over his desire to seize Greenland, a Danish territory, and then over the war. And finally, why not? The president has openly mused about seizing Iran's Karg Island oil terminal in the Persian Gulf, and the United States and Israel have kept up their attacks today on the Islamic Republic. Tehran, meanwhile, has attacked key water and electrical plants in Kuwait, part of its campaign targeting the Gulf Arab states, and an oil refinery in northern Israel. Diplomatic effort is being facilitated by Pakistan. It's trying to end that war. It moved ahead today. Trump said Iran had agreed to allow 20 oil tankers through the Strait of Hormuz starting Monday as a, quote, sign of respect. Maybe we take the Karg Island. Maybe we don't, he told the Financial Times in an interview that was published early this morning. We have a lot of options. And again, maybe sometimes you let your diplomats do the talking. It's okay to not always be chiming in on social media or in interviews and making threats and wild claims and outright lies that you are being spoken to by heads of Iran when everybody knows you are really not. But, you know, we'll just keep letting him talk and see what happens. And we'll keep an eye on it. And as things develop, if anything breaks, obviously while we're on, we will get to that. And just stay tuned to the network throughout the day. And if not, we'll have more headlines on this tomorrow. All right, when we come back, I want to hear from you about your reaction to what happened with the TSA funding over the weekend and the House Republicans. Are they still going to be able to blame the Democrats after it is very, very obvious who was in charge of this walkout? So we'll get to all that. We'll work on that. And then don't forget, after 8:30, Judge Chris Taylor is going to join us. You know, she is running for Supreme Court here in Wisconsin. So we'll talk to Judge Taylor and find out why she thinks you should vote for her. We have talked to all the candidates, and we're trying to get them on, too. So, Maria Lazar, if you are listening or if your people are listening, we would love to speak with you as well. So just get a hold of us or answer our emails and we'll get a hold of you. All right, let's do with that. And then there's more. It's the Civic Media.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Daybreak. You heard the man with the voice. He's not lying, except for the fact that Jamie is not here today. She'll be back with us tomorrow. Hopefully she's feeling better, getting a little rest, and she'll be able to rejoin the program. And we'll see what happens on a Tuesday. What do you think? What are we laying odds?
Yeah.
I'm going to say yes. I can't see Jamie unless she's on her deathbed taking more than one day off.
That's true. That's a very good point. I half expect her to come to our post-show meeting.
Yeah, or I expected her to call in at some point and just
That's
go,
true.
I'm going to be okay, fellas. Don't worry.
That's a good point.
Don't worry. I'm
She's
here.
Committed.
She's dedicated. That's what we're saying.
Yeah.
Jamie is dedicated. Me, I have a hangnail. You won't see me for a week and a half. But I'm soft. We're not going to lie about it. All right. Listen, when are the Republicans going to stop blaming Democrats for everything? Especially the funding of DHS. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I want to get your opinion on what happened over the weekend, because for a brief moment on Friday, we thought TSA was being funded. We thought FEMA was being funded. We thought the Coast Guard was being funded. Everything was being funded except for more money for ICE, which they don't really need right now because ICE is already funded through the big, beautiful bill. Remember, they have billions of dollars. We saw something happen in the Senate that we hadn't seen in a while. We saw a bipartisan vote that was unanimous. For those of you not paying attention, that means everybody, Republicans and Democrats in the Senate, all voted for a bill that would fund DHS. And it would take care of all this. It would end the longest partial shutdown in history. TSA agents would have been paid on Friday, which was their payday. Everything was going to plan. And then, now, did it go completely to plan for Democrats? No, because they had to make some concessions. And you know what? That's part of negotiating. That's part of the deal. Nobody ever gets everything they want, unless you're the president, who seems to get anything he wants because he's got people like Mike Johnson. And Mike Johnson, who is the Speaker of the House and also a Republican, took that deal from the Senate that said, let's pay these people. And Mike Johnson said, no. He marched out of his office Friday afternoon. He was very angry. One, because he was supposed to be letting everybody in the House go home, and now he had to stay and deal with this. He angrily rebuked the plan that the Senate had unanimously agreed on. He called it a joke, and he said, I have to protect the House, and I have to protect the American people. So not only did he denounce the plan, he denounced Republican senators. And he went after Majority Leader John Thune, who is also a Republican. Thune had been negotiating this for weeks with the Democrats, and it was going back and forth. And you remember the president said, don't make any deals with the Democrats unless it involved the SAVE Act. And Thune rightfully said, we don't have the votes to pass the SAVE Act. So, but they also hear that all these people are waiting to travel. All these TSA agents are either quitting or calling in sick because they're being expected to work without pay because they're essential workers. Well, they finally get it done. Thune and Chuck Schumer settled on the deal. It would not include funding for U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, but they already have it. Wouldn't include plans for or payments, more money for Border Patrol, but it would allot money for FEMA, TSA payments, and the Coast Guard. Well, that's it. House Republicans, they didn't even vote out. It was done. The Republicans said, one Republican, Nick LaLotta from New York, said the Senate chickened out. The cowards there, only a few of them in the middle of the night with, I think, only 3 to 5 senators present on the floor, chickened out because they wanted to go home for 2 weeks. We need to raise the bar. That could be partially true that they wanted to go home, but they could have gone home without a deal like you guys did in the House and left everybody hanging. So what's next for Republicans? Well, Trump has said that legislation to impose strict new proof of citizenship requirements on voting is his top priority. No real path for that plan, as I mentioned, because the Senate would need a 60-vote threshold for advancing the legislation. Some Republicans have pushed instead for a budget package that could potentially put some parts of voter ID in place. And it's not clear what the Senate's going to do next because, well, they're gone for 2 weeks, and a quick resumption of talks is unlikely. Negotiations ended acrimoniously on both sides, each blaming the other for moving the goalposts along the way. But anybody who tells you now that this is a Democratic shutdown is not really following the facts. The Democrats have, in fact, put forth, I believe, 7 different funding bills to get TSA funded. Republicans voted them all down. Now the Senate, Whether you liked all the provisions in that bill or not, the Senate did unanimously send a funding bill. So that's Republicans and Democrats, Senate Republicans off the hook for the moment. It all comes down to Mike Johnson and the House Republicans. The entire reason that this is still ongoing is because of them. Now, it's curious to me, and it's probably curious to you, that the president is somehow finding this money, which obviously they've had for a while. This is all, I think, part of the plan to get things riled up, to get Americans upset and distrustful of the TSA. They create a problem, and then they come in and solve it themselves, which is, you know, par for the course, really. All right, when we come back, I'm very excited. We are going to talk to Judge Chris Taylor. She is running for Wisconsin Supreme Court. She is one of the two candidates, and she is going to join me to talk about her candidacy, what got her into the race, and so much more. If you have a question, you can text it in, and if I get a chance, I will ask the judge. 855-75-CIVIC is that number. We'll be back with more. I'm Brian Noonan. This is Daybreak, and you are listening, as always, to the Civic Media. Good morning. It's 8:35. I'm Brian Noonan. Jamie is out today. She's a little under the weather. We will welcome her back tomorrow. So wherever you are on the network, you know that next Tuesday is Election Day. And if you didn't know, I've already reminded you. Next Tuesday, April 7th, is Election Day. And the Wisconsin Supreme Court race is once again a hotly contested focus in Wisconsin. There are some new numbers, though, that came out of a Marquette Law School poll showing that nearly a third of registered voters in the new poll said they've heard nothing about the Supreme Court race, and more than half haven't decided who to vote for. Well, this year's race hasn't brought the national attention or huge amounts of money from outside Wisconsin that last year's race did. Campaign still very important between conservative appeals court judge Maria Lazar and liberal appeals court judge Chris Taylor. It's coming down to the wire. Judge Chris Taylor joins me now to discuss her campaign and what she hopes she can add to the court. Judge Taylor, thank you for being here. I appreciate you taking time today. I know it's got to be crazy busy before in the final week. But first, a lot of people wondering because of the debate having to be postponed. How are you feeling?
Oh, I'm feeling so good. Thank you so much for asking, Brian. I had a kidney stone, which thankfully passed. On Wednesday evening, thankfully. And, you know, I'm feeling really so much better. And I really am grateful for all the well wishes I've received. I've heard so many kidney stone stories. I got to tell you, everywhere I go, people have experienced sure. with a kidney stone. So I was really disappointed to miss a debate, but it's coming up this yep. Thursday, 7:00. So I hope you all watch.
Yes, we were all ready for it last week, and then we got the sad news that you were ill. So it's coming back. You still have time to watch the debate, and if you're one of these people who haven't made up your mind, I would no matter who you may be leaning to, watch the debate. Those are always helpful. All right. Before we get into the specifics of your campaign, there's something that we talk about here a lot, and I wanted to get your opinion on it. We always wonder, aren't the courts supposed to be non-political? So how do you feel as a candidate for the Wisconsin Supreme Court about judicial candidates being associated with different political parties?
Well, you know, I don't like that particularly because I have a record of being a very fiercely independent, fair judge. I'm not running on a partisan platform. I'm not running on any specific agenda except to make sure the people of the state of Wisconsin get justice, to make sure they're prioritized, not the billionaires and the most powerful, to make sure their rights are protected, our democracy is protected, our elections are protected, and to make sure that we have a strong court that is going to resist this overreach of the federal government that is coming in and trying to take away some of our state's independence. So I think those are the issues that people really care about. And those are not partisan issues. Those are issues that we expect our judiciary to perform. And those are things that I care about deeply.
That seems to be the consensus that's what the judiciary should be doing, just analyzing the law and going for that. Since you brought it up, what are some of the biggest potential overreaches that you're concerned about as your campaign is winding down?
Well, I was very concerned about what I saw in Minnesota, that we saw mass federal agents kill two American citizens and the use of violence against seemingly peaceful protesters. So I think we have got to have a strong court here in Wisconsin that is going to make sure when people violate our rights and our constitution, they're going to be held accountable. Minnesota is not even able to do an independent investigation because of the lack of cooperation from the federal government. They're not even able to do a complete criminal investigation. I think that is wrong. I think the other issue that's going to keep coming back to us is challenges to our elections. My opponent was endorsed in the past by people who led the effort in trying to overturn our 2020 election. Our state Supreme Court resisted those efforts to overturn our election. There was no evidence of fraud. It was a valid election. But our state Supreme Court rejected efforts to overturn our election by only one vote. That's it. And so I think we're going to continue to see this effort where the state of Wisconsin's now being sued by the federal government. They want to get our personal private voting information. And we have to stand strong for our rights and for our constitution, for our people.
Wisconsin Supreme Court candidate Judge Chris Taylor is my guest. If this election, as we've said, has not gotten the outside attention that last year's Supreme Court race has, and it mostly is because the balance of the court is not up for grabs. But that's not completely the case, because we still want, if you're a Democrat, you still want to try to get another liberal-leaning judge on there to give a little buffer, correct? What other reasons do you think that this, besides that one, are there other reasons, in your opinion, that the race isn't getting as much attention as it did last year?
Well, I really characterize myself as being pro-democracy. Okay. I believe the people should be at the center of their government, not at the periphery. And I believe courts need to be committed to prioritizing the rights and freedoms of the people of the state of Wisconsin. I think this race, I do think people care deeply about having a court that they trust, that they have faith in. But we haven't had, thank goodness, the out-of-state billionaires come in and try to buy a seat. And, you know, so I think mostly that's a really good thing. But as a result, this doesn't have this high profile of last year when we had Elon Musk come in here and spend $47 million. So my campaign is being fueled and being supported by the people of the state of Wisconsin. And I'm really proud of that. Over 20,000 people have supported my campaign all around the state of Wisconsin. The average donation is less than $100. So I am running a grassroots campaign. This is about the people. This is what it's about, what kind of justice they deserve, what kind of court they deserve.
You brought up an interesting statement about trust for people. People should trust the courts. If you are elected on the court, how do you go about getting the public, who at this point may be a little wary of not only the state Supreme Court, but government in general, how do you start to rebuild that trust?
Well, the other thing I should add, Brian, from my last answer that I think is important before I answer this really good question is, we might have a pro-democracy majority right now on this court, but we have four elections coming up after mine. Mm-hmm. So the composition of the court is very much in flux. No one should feel good and feel secure because of how many elections that are coming up. So how I build trust and help build trust in the judiciary is by transparency. We need to invite the people in to watch what we do. Our proceedings at the state Supreme Court level are streamed. We also need to go out into communities. I was really heartened that our state Supreme Court now is taking justice on the road, justice on wheels, and they are going out into communities and having their oral arguments so people can see what we do. But I'm not a judge that just sits in my office and writes opinions. I am out in the community. I have gone all over the 24 counties that elected me to the Court of Appeals before I was running for re-election. I did presentations with my colleagues. We had dialogue with the bar, the attorneys, the circuit court judges. is, I think it's imperative that I be a fiercely independent judge, but I don't want to be isolated. I think judges are part of the fabric of their communities, and we have got to get out and be in community so people can see us, hear us, and have faith in what we do as judges.
Judge Chris Taylor is a candidate for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. She's with me now, which is, I'm very happy to have you here. All right. Since there were a lot of people in this poll that said they didn't really know a lot about the candidates, so let's give them some information. First of all, what do you see as the biggest differences between you and your opponent?
In one sentence, the biggest difference is I have spent my 30-year legal career as an attorney, as a law and policy director for Planned Parenthood, as a legislator, and now for the last 6 years as a judge, protecting people's rights and freedoms and making sure that everyone has equal justice under the law. My opponent has spent a large part of her legal career rolling back people's rights, taking away rights. She was Scott Walker's attorney, defending the rollback of working people's rights, defending the rollback of reproductive health access for women, defending what some election experts called the most gerrymandered legislative maps in the last 40 years. That's what she did as an attorney while I was working in private practice, representing regular people who had legal problems, when I was working at Planned Parenthood, to make sure that women had access to reproductive health care and the ability to make their own personal private health care decisions. And then as a judge, I am fiercely protective of people's constitutional rights. I do my research. I am scrupulous in the application of the law. I have never been reversed by any higher court. My opponent puts her thumb on the scale, and she time and time again rules in favor of the big corporate interests and the right-wing special interests. She's been reversed repeatedly because she does not apply the law in a fair and impartial way. And so I bring a very unique legal background and a huge lifelong commitment to people, to making sure that the law is being used to improve their lives, to protect their rights, and to make sure that they get justice.
Well, Judge Taylor, a lot of people say, oh, we don't really know these candidates. We hear their stories, we hear their platforms, but is there a way to humanize them? And I read a piece that you did with the Journal Sentinel that I thought humanized you a lot, and you gave the credit for the basis of your whole legal life to your grandmother. Can you share that story real quick?
Sure. Well, one thing I learned, Brian, growing up, is that the law can be a really powerful tool to improve people's lives. My grandmother was a single mother to my mother for most of my mother's childhood and most of my mother's life. And she really struggled to make ends meet, like so many working Wisconsin families, until she got a union job. And that union job enabled my grandmother to earn a fair wage and to support her three kids. It was still hard, but she was able to help them all go to college. They all became public school teachers. My mom was a fifth grade public school teacher when I was growing up. And I learned from her that the law can allow people not just to survive. I want people in the state of Wisconsin to thrive. I want them to live their dreams. And the law has a piece of that in strengthening our communities and creating opportunities for people. And that story in my grandmother's life have inspired me throughout my entire life.
Well, that's a touching story. And, you know, if anybody who has a close relationship with their grandparents or did while they were around knows that kind of feeling. So that was... Sometimes I feel disconnected from candidates because I don't know that they have real story. It's like you came out of the candidate machine, and it's like, no, candidates are real people. And I love what you said about getting out in the communities and being part of the communities, because you're not just ivory tower. I will say that we have put out an invitation to your opponent. She has not responded. But Maria Lazar is welcome here as well before next week. Judge Chris Taylor, thank you for your time today. Everybody, don't forget, if you're still thinking, well, I don't know much about the election, stop, do some research. The debate is rescheduled for this Thursday night. We're glad you're feeling better. Good luck with the final week of the campaign. And again, thanks so much for being with us today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks, Brian. And everybody vote. You can early vote now as well.
Yes, go early vote. Make sure you vote no matter what, because then it, your voice is heard. Somehow your voice will be heard. Judge Chris Taylor, thanks again. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you, Brian. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. All right, when we come back, there's more. Oh, the hard-hitting issues when we come back. We go from Supreme Court race to a little Easter candy debate, because that's what we do here.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. All morning I've been waiting for you. I'm like Pavlov's dog. I hear the big voice guy end, and I wait for Jamie to say, it's 6:52 now,
right,
and do her thing. Jamie's not here. She's sick. She'll be back hopefully tomorrow. So I've been pausing. That's my version of pouring one out for my sister who ain't here. I pour one out for Jamie and give that pause when she usually does the rejoin. Thanks for being here. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC. Which do you prefer, friends? A Cadbury cream egg or Peeps? And if neither one, then what is your preference? And I will tell you why I'm asking. But first, I must tell you that John Mulaney is coming to the Wisconsin State Fair. Woohoo! Do you want to go see him for free? Yes, you do. Because why on earth would you pay if we'll give you tickets? How do you get those tickets? Well, you go to WRJN.com. That's right, WRJN.com. You'll see the John Mulaney page right there on the homepage. Click that, fill out the short form, and hit send. That's it. You're in. You are qualified to win. You have until Sunday, April 5th to enter. Easter, is that a tie-in to the next story? It might be. Coincidence? I don't think so. So, John Mulaney, you know him from Saturday Night Live. You know him from various TV and movies. John Mulaney at the Wisconsin State Fair with his Mr. Whatever tour. So make sure you are there. Go ahead and go to WRJN.com and fill out your entry. Also, while you're on the internet, go to Facebook and Instagram. Our new Daybreak with Brian and Jamie pages are there. We are always looking. We're building them from nothing, folks. This is a bootstrap show, a grassroots. We're building this show up from nothing.
Grassroots.
And look how far it's come. Grassroots and brass what? I don't know. But let's get it done, folks. We appreciate your support there. And tell your friends, tell your enemies, tell your dog. The dog really can't do anything, but sometimes they're the only ones that'll listen to you. So make sure you do that. All right. Let's do an impromptu poll here on the show. Frank, Peeps or Cadbury eggs?
I would take the Cadbury egg over the Peep any day.
All right, Parker.
Eggs.
Nice. It's a tie. If it's the Cadbury cream egg versus the Peep, I'm Peep, 100%.
Really?
Whoa.
I don't like the cream egg. I love the cranberry. The Cadbury mini eggs are as addictive to me as any opioid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The cream eggs, no gracias. Pass. Pass the rule.
Yeah, but Peeps just suck in general.
They don't. That is a bad take.
Do.
What?
Parker, do you even like Peeps? You like Peeps?
I honestly don't know if I've had Peeps.
Parker hasn't even had one.
Hold on. Parker hasn't even been old enough to eat one. Hold your horses,
He's
boys.
Old enough. They're everywhere.
They're everywhere. We've gotten them. We just blow them up in the microwave. We don't actually eat them.
There you go. That says everything you need to know, Brian.
See?
Well, yeah, that Parker lives in a strange home where they waste money on things that they just, like, go buy Shrinky Dinks if you want to heat something up and watch it.
They're fun.
Yeah, that is weird. It's like,
that's pretty
it's
weird.
Like you want to put a real bunny or chicken in the microwave, but you know that would be frowned upon. So you're like, the next best thing is to watch a Peep suffer.
Yeah.
And then imagine that it's
experiment.
A real chicken.
It's a science experiment because you put it in
that
there.
You do every
it
year?
I don't know about every year now.
Don't you write down the data? Don't you? Do you have to keep it? It's they haven't changed the recipe.
Oh.
They do change the recipe all the time.
Brian, it's all up here. I've got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, this is the same argument I have with people about candy corn. I love candy corn.
I like
Peeps.
Fine.
But this is not the reason I ask. Not just because I'm trying to kill time before I get out of here, but
3 minutes.
But there is a. Target released a new study that found when it comes to selecting Easter candy, which is Sunday. Now, if you're old me, you wait till Monday and then you ravage the 75% off and 50% off racks for Easter candy. But buy your candy beforehand. 61% of the United States gravitates toward Cadbury cream eggs compared to Peep. That's on sales that Target reported between March 16th and April 20th of last year. 30 states prefer Cadbury eggs, while 20 states prefer Peeps. Western and Southern states seem to prefer Peeps. Midwest, Washington, D.C., Cadbury. Wisconsin, what do you think?
I mean,
Cadbury.
Probably the Cadbury Eggs.
Yeah. It is. I'm not lying to you. Why would I tell you misinformation? I'm not the fake news.
No.
I'm all about real candy news.
Because the people of Wisconsin aren't lunatics, Brian. They're not going to pick the Peep.
If you like Peeps and you live in the Midwest, the closest state to Wisconsin that prefers Peeps is Indiana.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, it does.
Indiana's a strange place.
That.
Yeah. And I usually don't align with Indiana, other than my love for the Jackson 5 and my need to see John Mellencamp this summer in concert. But maybe I go to Indiana next weekend, just sit in a field and eat Peeps. That would be fun.
Are you just in Indiana?
I drove through Indiana.
Okay.
Because I usually don't stay
Michigan.
There.
Okay, fair.
Yes, I was in Michigan. No, I got to listen. Indiana tries to trap you, though, because they want you, one, to eat Peeps, and two, they don't want you to get through quickly, so they do road construction every year. Nonstop.
This is true.
There's, if you've never driven across, you may think I'm being a little exaggerating, or
no,
I'm exaggerating a
little
bit.
They want you to stop in traffic, see all the fireworks that are for sale, and eat some garbage Peeps.
No, stop it. Listen, Peeps has released 3 new flavors. Parker, go out and get some of them. Mm. Pop-Tarts Frosted Strawberry Peeps.
Okay.
Chili lime mango Peeps.
Oh.
No.
And Sunny D Peeps.
Yeah.
Now, the chili lime mango chicks are exclusively at Kroger. Sunny D, only available at Target. I'm old school. I go yellow and I go the rabbits.
Oh.
Sometimes I go the chick because the, you know, interchangeable.
I feel like the chick is the Peep.
Yeah.
I thought that's why they went to the rabbits. It's all the same, the chick and the rabbit. I'll go both. But here's the thing. I will have one box of them. That's it. That's for the season. Cadbury mini eggs, I could eat and hoard until the end of time and still not get enough.
I mean, yeah, because they're better.
They're better. The Cadbury mini eggs, not the cream eggs. I don't like the ooze. I never liked that bubble gum that squirted. I don't like that feeling.
On that note.
Yeah, that's it.
Land the plane, Brian, after that one.
Maybe
Brian Noonan doesn't like the oozing.
I don't like the oozing. That's the headline. Put that in your breakdown, AI. All right. Hopefully, Jamie's back tomorrow to curtail some of this craziness. But either way, Daybreak will return tomorrow. Have a wonderful day. Thank you for listening. Thanks for being part of the program. I'm Brian Noonan, and this is the Civic Media.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.